Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Yeah. Spring and James Ham. Fresh from practice, second day of practice for the Sacramento Kings, but I don't think it's the second practice though, right?
No, they had 2-a-day yesterday. Okay. So they, I think what you typically do like early in camp is...
They just don't invite you guys back.
No, they do not invite us back. They have to invite us to at least one of the practices, but what they do basically is they do a bunch of walkthrough, a bunch of offensive drills, a bunch of running, a lot of conditioning in the morning, and then at night they scrimmage and kind of see how it all plays out. That doesn't, it's not going to happen every day, but I think there's a certain amount you're allowed as far as 2-a-days. So we went from practice, and then they served us food that's going right. to be in the yeah. building. Yeah. And then I ran into John Jacobs, who works for the Sac Republic, and he gave me this beautiful scarf and told me that they play in the Jägermeister Cup final mm-hmm. this right. weekend at mm-hmm. Sutter, well, at not Sutter Health, at Heart Health Field. Mm-hmm. So get on out there and see your Sac Republic. They got a shot to win a cup title.
Today, before I came here, it was lunch with loved ones at Reese's School today. Mm. And you have lunch, very early lunch, but you have lunch and, you know, you bring a parent or
I was going to say, you were here at 11:45.
Yeah, lunch started at 10:40. What kind of lunch was that? But as I had to say, I saw my boy Roro. His son that goes to the same school where Reese. They actually have the same class every
rich
now.
People.
Nice.
No. I mean, he might be rich. I'm not. I'm not.
It's great. Man, what is the tuition for your guys' kids to go to?
I don't
school?
Know nothing about no tuition. I don't know. This is a public school.
Mm. Sure it is.
My son went to preschool with Creed Williamson. Oh. Corliss Williamson's son. Yeah. They're the same age. And of course, Creed was like a foot taller than everyone else.
Wait, where did you live when that happened?
Natomas.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you don't live where you live now. There's no way Corliss lived out there.
No. We like when when Toby was born, we lived in Sacramento.
Okay.
And we slowly moved back up the hill. Gotcha. Lived in Roseville for a while.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. We listened to a little bit of Doug Christie today. I know he talked about some time that he spent with Mike Tomlin this offseason. Anything get your attention from D.C. after a couple of practices under his belt now?
First of all, the Tomlin thing is really interesting because that's Scott Perry's thing.
Right.
Scott Perry has known Mike Tomlin for years, and he makes the annual trek out to their training camp, and I think that's great. You know, another coach that was big into this was Dave Yeager. Dave Yeager always allowed visiting coaches that maybe assistant coaches that he didn't have room for his staff, but were trying to get in the league. We're trying to stick around or get back in the league. He would invite him in and let him, you know, come to a couple of practices so they could get their name out there again. You know, he would go to events and learn from other coaches. I think it's a really smart thing. And it also, the bond between Doug Christie and Scott Perry is growing. And that to me is a very, very good thing. Scott Perry took Doug to the pre-draft combine in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He let Doug be part of the interview process with the prospects. Like, Doug had a big say in going out and getting Dennis Schroeder. I really do feel like they're bonding over some of these things, which is good, because that relationship that we saw with Mike Brown and Monty McNair, I don't think it was a horrible relationship, but that doesn't mean they were ever on the same page. And when you have a coach saying, you know, defense, 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 and you have a general manager saying, we need to crank the offense back up, this isn't working, there's a problem. And, you know, that's never going to work itself out when you have a GM and a coach that are completely on the wrong page. So, like, this is a good thing. They still have a lot of work to do. But I also just think, like, Doug is settling in, and that's a good thing. He's starting to institute a lot of his offensive scheme, you know, and a lot of it's going to be the read and react stuff that we saw from, you know, the Kings in the early 2000s. And that's not like a specific set. You know, we know they played the Princeton offense, but out of the Princeton offense, they reacted, they read off each other, and figured out ways to get open, figure out ways to have like a flow offense that wasn't so like, you know, like nuts and bolts, restrictive. And, you know, when you got a guy like Domantas Sabonis who can pass from, you know, anywhere on the court, I think it's a smart play to go play to the strengths of some of your best players. And so we'll see how it goes. It's going to take a little while.
I know there was a lot of people worried when Scott Perry got the job that maybe he'd be forced to hire Doug Christie as the head coach. I always looked at it, and James, you spent time around both of these guys, a lot of time around Doug. It feels like even if they didn't know too much about each other, or, you know, Scott had other people he was thinking about hiring as coach, that the way that they approach the game of basketball and look at the game of basketball seems to be in line with each other. Like, it seems like if Scott Perry wanted to have a head coach, it'd be a guy like Doug Christie. And if Doug Christie wanted to bounce how to build a team off of somebody, it would be like Scott Perry. So I never really I understood why people would say that, but I always thought those guys probably look at things the exact same way about how to go about basketball, and I thought it'd be a good fit from the start.
Yeah, it might not be the exact same way, but it's in the same vein, right? You know, like they still have the same basic concepts in their head. I think Scott is a bit of a chameleon, you know, and that's a good thing. That means he can work with anybody. He can kind of, you know, change who he is when things aren't working out. He can also look at a situation and say, okay, this is what I have today, but where do I need to be, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now? And it's not easy, because when you take on a basketball team like Scott has, you inherited like a whole bunch of crazy stuff, you know, like realistically, it's like, you know, you have a significant other, you marry that significant other, and then all of a sudden she introduces you to the family, and you're like, what in the world is going on? No, I'm not going to visitation at the penitentiary. You know, I'm not going to go visit your brother like there, or, you know, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not, like, this is weird. You have to be adaptable, right? And you have to kind of take everything in stride. And I think that's one of the things that I've noticed from Scott. He listens a lot, and then he's able to articulate what he's feeling and the direction he wants to go. I don't know if it's like a perfect marriage, but I do know that Doug is super malleable. He's willing to work with anybody. And I feel the same way about Scott. Scott's been around the league long enough. He's made plenty of mistakes as a general manager. He knows that, you know, whether it's, you know, draft picks, or it's a way that he dealt with media in Orlando that he's always kind of brought up, that he just felt like he did things wrong and he was going to do it differently. And I think Doug is somebody who, like, the one thing, you know, Doug has so many friends in the media, and, you know, that can be a bad thing, but it can also be a really good thing, because Doug is going to get a little bit of leeway with everybody, because not because we like him, but because we know he's coming from a good place. Like, so many times I've seen with this
franchise.
Yeah,
you do get cut some slack when you're not a jerk.
Yeah, yeah. So many times I've been around this team for so long, but like there are people with ulterior motives, and this is a stepping stone to go somewhere else, and they want bigger and better things for themselves down the road, and this is just a stop in their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at them like, man, this is one of 30 jobs, and it doesn't matter what job it is. There's only one. You're one of 30. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be a lead assistant? There's only 30 lead assistants in the NBA. A defensive coordinator? There's only 30 of them. You know, so you have to like look at this as not just a stepping stone, but an opportunity to find your NBA home. How many players have I, you know, ran into that are still searching for their NBA home, or they get to Sacramento like, well, this is what home feels like. You know, Trey Lyles is a guy that we always talk about. Malik Monk. You know, these guys that like they bounce around the league and all of a sudden they just find this perfect spot for them. I think it's really cool to see it happen. But also I'm always leery of the person who's trying to climb and trying to be something else. Like, just do your job. Do your job really well. This franchise isn't good enough for you to be here trying to do something, do your job and six other people's jobs because you're trying to steal power and stuff, but it's happened too many times. And so, like, look, I think that's one thing that, you know, you're always getting, anyone that knows Doug is pure of heart, right? He's here for one reason, and that is because he feels like his team didn't get something, the job done, and he wants to be part of the group that gets the job done and brings the title to Sacramento. That's about as pure as you can get, right? And so you're going to get a little bit of leeway from people like myself, you know, Deuce, who's close with Doug, Matt George, like we've all known Doug forever. And I think that we're all like, we're media members, so we're not allowed to like be fans of, but we're hoping that our guy can figure it out and can have a successful run here. And, you know, a lot of that is going to depend on Scott Perry and that relationship. And it's going to depend on if Scott can deliver some of these players that this team desperately needs down the road.
What do you think the key to him figuring it out is?
To Doug figuring it out?
Yeah.
I got to be honest. The key to me is, like, you have to have reverence for your vets,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But at the end of the day, it's about winning basketball games, and you need to put players on the court, give players minutes that will help you win. And it's something that, you know, like the Keon Ellis is like the thing is like the prime example of this, where, you know, Mike was hesitant to give him a ton of minutes. He let Keon, you know, like get on the court. Not every coach is going to let an undrafted free agent rookie and second year player ever get on the court, but giving that little bit more and a little bit more, like at the end of the day, either you can play or you can't. Mm-hmm. And if you can look at all the advanced statistics you want, there are players that impact the game greatly. And, you know, we can joke around about, you know, like switching like Jonas Valanciunas out for Drew Eubanks and just how you didn't get better at the position. That doesn't mean that Drew Eubanks isn't going to help the team win more games, because he very well could. We don't know that. You know, he's a guy who does the dirty work, who isn't looking for stats, who is quick enough to defend the perimeter and go back inside, who rebounds, who doesn't mind throwing an elbow and pushing somebody down. Like, there are certain things that you overvalue in the box score, and then there are things that you undervalue that players bring to the table that you don't know until they're in your house, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, look at that. Mm-hmm. You know, look at how much impact, look at how every single Sacramento Kings player feeds off the energy of Malik Monk. That is not something that any of us knew before he came to Sacramento. Like, the Lakers didn't feed off Malik Monk's energy. The Charlotte Hornets clearly didn't feed off his energy. Mm-hmm. You get him in your building, you make him comfortable, you give him a role, you give him the right type of nurturing, and boom, you have a player. And I think that that's something that, you know, Doug is, he's tasked with. Like, figure it out. Figure out if Isaac Jones can be a rotational player. Figure out if, hey, Dario Saric has something left in the tank, because he might. Mm-hmm. Just because it didn't work out in Denver and they sat him on the bench for 82 games or whatever, 66 games, maybe he does have something that could help your team win. And that, at the end of the day, is what I think the toughest thing is. It's going to be, I know what player X, Y, and Z give me statistically, but do those statistics matter enough for them to stay on the court when they're not doing what I'm asking? And so can Doug have the mentality that I'm going to do what's right for the whole and not what's right for one player or two players? And that's always going to be the toughest thing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Are you hearing, when you hear Doug speak so far in the first 3 days, I guess, media day and two practices, are you hearing different philosophies than maybe you heard from Mike Brown specifically, because Doug speaks a lot about defense? Are you hearing things differently, that he talks about what he wants to do on the defensive end and his principles compared to when Mike Brown was here?
Yeah, there's some subtle differences. I'll also tell you, like, when you drive in the car with somebody for, you know, 3 hours each way to the Bay Area, I know Doug's thoughts on defense and how to play, how he would play and how he wants players to play. I know, because I've had all those conversations with him a bajillion times.
You've also seen him eat packets of blueberries and seaweed.
Yeah. Well,
and
that
drink apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, exactly. Apple cider vinegar is a staple of his diet. Yeah. For sure it is. But there are things that they're teaching right away. The one thing is the closeout on the three. That's one thing. You know, Mike wanted the high five. Mm-hmm. So run at the shooting hand and high five.
Yeah, it went bad last year when they had the most and one attempts on 3-point shots.
That was an awful strategy.
I don't know if it was in the history of the league, but it sure felt like it.
Yeah, and I really did feel like, you know, one of the, I mean, again, hindsight is 20/20, right? But even when it was happening in the beginning, I thought the decision, and this is not a dig at either one of them, I thought Mike's decision to make Luke Laux's defensive coordinator was not at all a good decision. And that's, again, it's not a dig on Luke. Luke was an offensive coach forever. Luke was an offensive player. You know, it's like Jay Triano. Like, go back and look at Jay Triano college stats. Go back and look at Jay Triano with Team Canada. He's like one of the most gifted scorers of all time. Like, this is a dude who, you know, like a lot like Paul Westphal, right? Paul Westphal was one of the greatest scorers in the history of the game. One of the great ambidextrous scorers. Like, he could score with either hand anywhere on the court. And you can go back and watch. Like, those are great offensive. Their mind thinks of the game in a complete offensive mindset, right? It's about how we score more baskets, right? Like, I'll just make an example. Like, my son has played center back in or left back in soccer forever. He had a coach who decided he wanted him to play like a striker or a wing position because he's fast and he's left-footed. My son, like his instincts every single step of the way was to go cover, was to go backwards, not to go forward because he doesn't do that. That's his mindset is to play defense, right? So you have defensive-minded coaches, you have offensive-minded coaches. You take an offensive-minded coach and you try to fit him into a defensive, a defensive coordinator position, when realistically you had Doug Christie sitting right there next to you, who is one of the great defenders of his generation. Like, why would you not? And that was because there wasn't a great amount of trust between Doug and Mike. And it's not something that Doug did. It's not something that Mike did. It's that Doug is known by everybody. Doug has friends like the media friends. Doug has those same friends in ownership and those same friends in high levels of the front office above, you know, the general manager and stuff, like in the business side. Everyone knows Doug. Everyone loves Doug. So there's always going to be that uneasiness. And I think that was a mistake that Mike made. And one of the things that Doug is right away, we're not doing the high five thing. You're going to get down in you're going to run at somebody, get down in a position, and you're going to get your hands up and you're going to be right in front of them. We're not giving up, not just the foul on the 3-point shot. We're not going to have the blow by happen because when you're jumping at a player's hand, they sidestep you and go right to the basket. It's like, oh, well, that didn't work out so well. And so I think that they are making some adjustments there. Now, as far as like what scheme they're going to run, I have no idea. We've yet to see it. Mike was like about as anti zone defense as you can possibly find in the league. I think we will see, when you don't have defensive players, you hide that, you mask it by running zones for certain portions of the game. Mike very, very seldom did it. And when he did do it, it always felt like it was the wrong time. Like, you can't run a zone against four shooters, a team with one big man and four shooters. That's not going to work. So there were just like some hits and misses. And I don't think that was Mike's. Like, Mike wasn't coaching defense play in and play out. He had a defensive coordinator for that. And so, again, like, this isn't a dig on Luke Laux. He was learning the job. He's an offensive-minded coach, and now he's a head coach at Florida State. But I do think that there were some fundamental things that they were doing that are different than what we'll see this year.
One quick follow-up to that. Did Mike not want Doug on the staff?
I think he was
that someone's decision other than Mike Brown's?
No, I think, when they brought him in, they asked Mike if he would keep Doug on the staff. Mm-hmm. And he said yes. Okay. And once you say yes, like, Doug didn't do anything.
They gave him the option to say no and he didn't.
Of course. Just like they gave, like, Luke Walton called Doug out of nowhere and asked him to come in for an interview for an assistant coaching job. And Doug's like, really? And then he's like, okay, yeah, when do you want me? So he showed up, and then, to be honest with you, Doug thought that they were going to give the job to somebody else. And he's like, oh, okay, well, at least I went through the process. I feel like at least I'm getting an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then when Luke called him and gave him the job, he was stunned. Mm. Like, and it came out of nowhere. Like, we thought Doug was going to be on the telecast, and then it came out of nowhere that he joined Luke Walton's staff. So, I mean, it's a great thing because
I remember he had to quit that day. That day was iconic across the street. They're like, no, Doug's taking a coaching job. No, he quit like right now. Like, this is it. Like, he's leaving.
It happened.
Yeah, just, like, he's leaving.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Right now.
Yeah.
So I'll set that station into shambles.
Hate to see it.
So no, I don't think. And Doug and Mike had played against each other in college. They'd known each other like on the peripheral for, you know, a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. They weren't like close friends or anything else. But at the end of the day, like you gotta have people around you that you trust. And I think that might be one of the biggest things that came up today was the trust that Doug has in the people that are around him, mm-hmm. and the trust he did not have in the people around him to end last season, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Last year, I don't know. I just don't think it can be understated. DeMar said it best. That was a mess. That was a mess. The last 40 games of the season. That was probably one of the worst basketball situations any of those guys had ever seen. And man, just the fact that, you know, so far, we'll see what happens. People are coming into training camp on the same page, or at least an understanding of what's going on. Doug Christie has people that he can bounce ideas off of or get ideas from that he trusts that are just there, like literally there as people. There were coaches that weren't even there last year when he was trying to do all this. And I know that aspect kind of gets overlooked a little bit. But as a player, like, you see that and it looks crazy when the coaches aren't on the same page, when the coaches might be arguing with each other or not seeing things the same way. You see that, and when you're in the hallways, when you're in the training room, when you're in the practice floor, and it's like, man, what's going on? What's really going on? Not having that this year, hopefully, is going to be a factor. I don't want to say how big a factor it's going to be, but I do think it's going to be a factor for the players, actually.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a huge factor for everybody. I mean, like, one of the things that, like, Mike Brown trusted Doug enough as a basketball mind to have him do the scouting report on at least half the games last year when Mike was there, and the year before. And I don't know what his win percentage was, but I'm going to guarantee you it was really high. When Doug did the scouting report, it was meticulous and it was done well, and they won basketball games sometimes because of the scouting report, mm-hmm. right? That shows you that there is at least some sort of connection and some trust as far as like who you are as a basketball mind, right? But what we saw at the end of last season where Doug didn't feel like he could delegate anything to anyone, that's tough, man. I've said it a couple of, like, you could tell the guy hadn't slept in 2 or 3 days. Like, you could just see it and starting to get angry. You know, it was basically like he was hangry the whole time. It was like, mm-hmm. he was hungry, but the hunger wasn't for food. It was for sleep. And he didn't know what to do. You know, like, how do you put your arm around the whole situation and try to figure it out on the fly when you literally have a coach leave midseason and go coach like college basketball? Like, I mean, and not only that, but, you know, one of the guys he did trust is Leandro Barbosa. Mm-hmm. And Leandro, not only did he tear his quad and had to have surgery, but at one point he also had a family emergency out of the country and was gone for a long stretch. And so these are things where it's like so many things were playing up against him. And, oh, by the way,
torn quad is crazy. You can't even, like, work around that. You're just like, yeah, I'm stuck, man. Sorry, I can't get out of bed for, like, 6 weeks.
Well, he couldn't even do front of the bench. Yeah. He couldn't go to the front of the bench because of it, you know, when they had, like, late in the season. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. You're trying to do the best thing you can to keep your team together, to keep them on the right track. Because a toxic season is one thing where bad things happen. A toxic season that ends with, like, you know, a 5-30 record in the final 35 games or something is a blow it up moment for a franchise. That didn't happen. Like, you remember, they lost the first game under Doug Christie, but then they win 7 straight. And again, if you would have left that team together, you probably would have made the playoffs. If you wouldn't have pulled the trigger on a trade that didn't need to happen, probably would have made the playoffs. If you would have let Doug work with De'Aaron for an entire 51 games, we don't know what would have happened, but it's possible that De'Aaron Fox would have said, okay, I'll give this one more shot. It's also possible he had 2 feet out the door. But, you know, the second that Doug took over, De'Aaron Fox played really hard. You know, there are even games where it's like he's the only one playing hard. And so it's a tough situation to go through, but hopefully they're better for it.
Who knows what would have happened if they had just had a press conference?
Real quick, JV in the chat, he says, I want to know who scouted the Pelicans when they went 0-6.
No, that's a good question.
That is a great question. Because something, I don't know why, you could always tell when Doug had the scout because he would always look a little extra
intense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be like, he wouldn't smile much. He'd be like, yeah, no, I had the scout on this one and blah, blah, blah. But I think he had the Lakers when they went 4-0 against the Lakers. I could absolutely be wrong, but I remember distinctively one conversation, and I thought, oh, this is his scout, and it was the year that they won. They won four of those games. Again, don't know who had him last year when I think we lost all of them, or who had the Pelican scout. James, our insider, is going to find out, and we're going to come back, and we're going to throw someone under the bus. It was Luke.
Run those guys over.
Yeah, Luke Walton. Dealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back here on D'Lo and KC, we got James Hamm with us. And before we do anything, I want to remind you guys, you need to get your Prize Picks lineup in. Usually I do like a full game type of lineup. You know what I mean? Niners-Rams. I'll do a Niners-Rams lineup for Prize Picks. Well, I don't think I'm doing that today or this game because half the players that I would have aren't even available. So I'm going to figure something else out. Maybe, Jesse, maybe I'll be doing a all game three MLB playoff lineup. Maybe I'll be doing that.
You know, yesterday it was 1-0 for like 2 hours. It's just 2-0 right now.
Do they let you set lineups for maybe game one of the Giants season next year?
Whoa. Sick what burn. The hell was that?
Shots fired.
Tough. I mean, the man's got a point, though.
I'm focused on my game going on right now.
Coming in hot.
I'm just trying to figure out what type of lineup I have because I'm not going to have a Niners-Rams lineup. I might do it. I just check in with me tomorrow. I might do a Niners-Rams lineup. But download the Prize Picks app. Put in the promo code KIFM to get $50 towards your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM to get $50 towards your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Securing a Bagley on fire. He's the aces of the IGTBRL.
You can't even say it without laughing because it's so stupid. It's ridiculous.
You have to look at it.
No,
it's like
ridiculous.
The ID.
It's like exactly.
He's exactly the aces of the IGTBRL.
IGTRL.
Nailed it.
Like did you too, Charlie did earlier. He accidentally.
Yeah.
The Baltimore. Yeah. We thought they were playing the Ravens all day.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Raiders Ravens. Me and Jesse were for
what?
For like 3 minutes, and then we realized that. He thought the Colts were the Baltimore Colts for a sec, and like he saw Baltimore and put down the Ravens, and Charlie wasn't the Ravens.
Charlie's got some days off next week, and he desperately needs
it. We love Charlie.
To be fair to Charlie, when the San Diego Enforcers are in the NFL 20 years from now, we'll probably think San Diego Chargers.
Well, they still call them the San Diego Chargers.
You called them the Indians like 3 times in the last 2 days.
Oh, I struggled that earlier.
I do think they should go back to Redskins.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
okay.
Look, it's not my call.
The people whose call it is, like, yeah, bring the name
well,
back.
That's what I've heard, but again, it's not. Whatever they want, like that's theirs. Did you? Never mind, man. Let's talk about the Kings
next.
DeMar was pretty. I love DeMar's demeanor on
DeMar's demeanor.
Yeah, that's tough. On media day, he was openly like annoyed, and he was talking about the mess. That was last season. He said he's a little pissed off at the way media is talking about this team this year. And I want to ask you something that Casey and I were talking about earlier, because I do think it is an important component to this season. Is do you think the absence of turmoil will wind up being a huge positive for this Kings team? Like, as we talk about defense, we talk about DeMar and Keegan's growth, we talk about all of this other stuff. If you just remove turmoil and coaches being fired and coaches leaving for college and general managers leaving for colleges and general managers knowing they're going to be fired and star players being traded, all of that, you get rid of all of that, it seems to me that that would have not just a positive impact on the team, but potentially a massively positive impact on the team.
Well, I agree completely. Like I've always said, like if the Kings, when DeMarcus Cousins was here, like I need a variance of plus minus 8 wins. People would be like, why is that? It's like, because if you can avoid the drama, then they can win 45. Hmm. If you can't, they can win 29. Like, so my number is like 37.
Hmm.
That would be my number. So, but I need that plus minus.
But you get the plus 8.
I need the plus minus 8. Okay. But the problem that I have this year is that, yes, like if you can avoid the drama, you can avoid all that stuff. Like you got the big story out of the way that was hanging over the franchise's head like 2 weeks ago. You know you're out on Kuminga now, although it already looks like they're shopping Kuminga for January 15th.
Right.
It's like, he has an expiration date or something. It's like he's a yogurt in the fridge.
dude's got to be
gone. Like if he's not out of here by Friday, we're throwing everything away.
Best if traded by January 15th.
Like, what in the world is happening? So I think that that's going to rear its ugly head again, because if you were interested today, why would you not be interested tomorrow? Right? And so I think there's always that possibility. But I also believe that this team is going to, if they get off to a good start, if they start winning, they will embrace the good and they will embrace success, which is something that this franchise as a whole has really struggled with. They can't embrace success. And, you know, it's one thing to search for it, but it's another thing when you do find it to like get in your own way again and again and again, you know, like, we forget, like, Dave Yeager had one team in his first year, right, which DeMarcus Cousins, and that team fell apart, and they end up trading him at the deadline. The second year is like nine first and second year players. It's 2017 with all of the rookies, right? The next year is when they are winning. They're winning 39 games. And what happens? Like Dave Yeager and Brandon Williams get into a fight that lasts the entire season and just drama. And like, again, that team should have won 40, 41 games. And if you can win 40, 41, what are you going to do the next year? You embrace success. You win more games. You make the playoffs. Your playoff drought ends. Nobody's talking about it. You keep winning and you build something. But no, that's not what happened. What happened was you got in your own way and you tripped and face planted again, which is exactly what happened last year. Like, just you had a little step back. You went from 48 to 46 wins. There are reasons for that. Like, embrace success, get on the same page, add a few pieces, and keep going. And that's where, again, I think this franchise, like, they just can't figure that piece out. So let Doug build something. And if he's just way in over his head, he's way in over his head. But if he's not, and he's building something, then add. Don't subtract. Don't go a different direction. Don't go sideways. Just try to stay on one path that you've chosen and see how far you can get there with that path. And that to me is the thing that this team, this franchise just has struggled with for years, for decades.
I would say maybe this is one of the first times I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody, so I'll watch my words, but this is one of the first times they have accomplished people in decision-making positions. You know, people who have a certain level of experience, cachet, respect around the league with teams and players. And that might be one of the differences this time around. This is the first time since Jeff Petrie you've had a respectable guy in decision-making seats.
I watched it today.
That was very disrespectful, by the way.
Name no names.
Yeah.
Put that one together on our own.
I was watching today after practice, and I've got video, and I hadn't posted it because I was having all kinds of issues posting video. Doug Christie came over, and he was hanging out with Alvin Gentry, BJ Armstrong, and Scott Perry. Mm-hmm. And the video is just them hanging out, laughing, having a good time, like living in the moment. Day two of training camp. We're all on the same page. We're fighting a good fight. That's what basketball should be about.
You know what the most important part of that video is? Is Alvin is here.
Yeah.
That's the most important
part. Once again, hope he never leaves.
Yeah, he...
I don't know why. He doesn't do anything. He's vibe. He's just the vibe guy, but like when Alvin's around, you know it.
Yeah.
You know, you say he's not doing... I don't know. Like, he has a green outfit that he wears where he matches like six different colors of green and looks phenomenal.
Come on, man.
Like,
that's
he just...
boy.
His vibes.
He is
boy.
A vibe dude, man.
That is my boy right there.
Yeah, yeah. Me and him were messing with each other today. Just when I showed up, he said something. I went over and messed with him. And, you know, just a great dude. Again, that...
Like, Alvin's job is to wake up, wherever he goes, create a presence, and then leave.
Create a presence.
I told you the one day I was sitting on the sidelines talking to him in pregame. Me and him are sitting there talking. They're playing Toronto that night. He goes, oh, hang on one sec. I'll be right back. Gets up, walks right into the middle of the court, goes and grabs OG Anunoby, and they just start talking. A guy that the Kings are literally rumored to be, like, trading for. He just goes over like, hey, hang on. I got this. Just like, what is happening? Like, there's just, like, certain people you run into, they just have a swag to them.
Yes.
And that is exactly what Alvin is. And so, yeah, I
think
love
Alvin
it.
Created the term swag.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is great. Yeah,
love Alvin. But I mean, like I said, they got people here that
Oh, we got runs. We got runs. We got runs.
Tie game. Tie game. Sox and Yankees.
Oh, wow. Tone,
guess we're getting game three tomorrow. We're getting game three tomorrow.
Jesse wants...
By the way, for those that don't know, it's the top of the third.
He wants the Red Sox to win so bad because Jake Gayden's coming in tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be so great.
He cannot wait for this to happen.
That'd be so great. Jake will sell it, too. He will be distraught.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He will be absolutely
Carlos Rodon. Come on, bro.
Let's see what happens.
It's one of those things, Hammer, where we kind of take stuff like this for granted. But, yeah, it's a good thing that guys like each other. You know what I mean? It's a good thing that you have, as my partner would say, not taking a shot at anybody.
I'm trying to.
But it's good, like, you can hold a conversation with your general manager. Like, you can have a conversation with your front office staff without worrying about it winding up in a Shams tweet in an hour.
Yes.
Like, that stuff is really, they seem so, those things seem like a given. Kings fans all over the region and all over the country know it's not. We've lived through enough to know that those traits that you just talked about, they're not a given. And the fact that Scott, BJ, Alvin, who again doesn't actually have a job, and Doug, they're all just talking, vibing, hanging out, talking, all on the same page. The fact that Doug and Scott spent time together this offseason, that alone feels like a big deal, much less doing it, I assume, in Pittsburgh. That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. I'll tell you, one time I was at Summer League, and we ran into Pete D'Alessandro after running into Michael Malone. We said, oh, yeah, we just ran into Michael. He goes, oh, he's here?
Come on, man.
He hopped the plane. After he hopped another plane and went back and stopped you from like hiring a different lead assistant for his staff, which isn't allowed. And then he hopped the plane back here. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, you know, you have an assistant GM go to the press about a young player who wants to start. And, you know, the coach might be on the hot seat because he's not starting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, make no mention that the team is winning.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The team is winning. And you got to put your foot in it. I mean, it's just crazy the things that have happened here. And that's where I think, like, look, Doug is, like, I've always told you guys that, like, Rudy Gay is Switzerland, right, in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got a big group of players on the left, a big group of players on the right, and then Rudy Gay was always smack dab in the middle. And that's how you design a locker room. You put the guys in the middle who are friends with everyone. So if you do have these factions on the right or the left of the locker room, these little groups, they can have their problems, but they're always going to go to the middle and talk to Rudy. And then the other side will always go to the middle and talk to Rudy. That's what Doug Christie is. He's that guy that, like, is there... there's one guy that I know of in Sacramento who says bad things about Doug Christie. And I don't think anyone has anything good to say about him.
No. Facts. Correct.
That's it. There's one guy. Outside of that, every other person loves Doug. And that's because he's a good human being. And he cares. And he tries. And that's not the way that everyone is. And so when you get someone like that, you know, you hope that he's in a position to succeed. And part of that is, you know, your ability to coach, the coaching staff they built around him. But it will come down to players and talent eventually. And so, like, how far you go in this league, like, you can get a certain distance with a great coach, with you know, all the love and the kumbaya moments, but at the end of the day, you still have to have talent. And if you don't have talent or the right type of talent, then there's going to be a ceiling. But for right now, like, look, again, this is the beginning of a season. Everyone's 0-0. Everyone's got a shot at 82-0, even though they don't. But, you know, you still feel that way walking into the season, and there's nothing that says that the Kings, with the talent they do have, because they do have enough talent to win, but how much can they win, and how much will the level of talent eventually, you know, cap who they are as a group?
James, are you big on jersey watch at practice?
No, I mean, like, there are times that I will put out like a tweet, like, who's in what jerseys, just to mess with people, because I know there are a lot of people out there who are like paying attention to it. but I've never been someone who, like, again, you get burned like one time doing that. And I've told you guys the one time where Omri Caspi hadn't played in like 9 straight games, and I showed up in pregame, and he literally is on the board in the starting lineup. And I said, "Are you starting?" He goes, "I don't know, man. The board says I am, but like, I don't know." So I put out like, "Hey, here's the projected starting lineup that was on the board, but no promises." Yeah, Omri didn't play for a 10th straight game that night. And that was just like, again, not on the same page. Not on the same page with Dave Yeager that year. Not on the same page at all. And sometimes that happens. But like, I think walking into this season, I don't see any problem, Childs. I don't see any like negativity. There aren't, you know, like angry people. There's none of that. The disgruntled group, like they're either in the rotation or they're like one of 7 guys that might finish the end of the rotation. That might be the 8th, 9th, or 10th player. Because as of right now, I think they're, like me and Jesse talked about it earlier, I think we can all name like 7 guys, maybe an 8th, that you think are in the rotation. And Doug keeps saying there's going to be a 10-man rotation. That means that those other guys are like, oh, okay, I'm here to potentially play. Like 6 guys are all going to be looking around like, okay, maybe I get to play if I do what the coach is asking. If I'm playing hard, if I'm giving effort, if I'm playing defense, maybe I will be one of those guys that sneak into the back end of the rotation.
Do you think the starting lineup is something different than what everyone thinks that it is?
No.
I mean, Doug was kind of like having some fun with it. I don't know if that was yesterday or 2 days ago, but it's probably what we all expect it to be, right?
Well, I mean, I think you have to play the game, right, early on and act like it's up for grabs. But like everyone is talking about Dennis Schroeder like, you know, the Kings acquired prime Chris Paul.
Oh, don't do that. Well, no. They're not doing that.
No, they are. Like, it's like, I'm sitting here like, wow. And I'm not just saying, like, the players are just answering the question.
Oh.
Like, everybody in the room is like, oh, man, you know, like, they're talking about Dennis this way and that way. It's like, wait. Like, let's give this guy a chance to be who he is, which is a solid NBA player. Mm-hmm. Like, but let's not act like he just... It's the difference between you winning 35 and 55, because that's what a lot of this is like. Oh, wow. All right. Did we not learn from the Tristan Thompson experience, or name that other veteran that comes in the door and like talks a big game? And I'm not saying Dennis even did that.
Sure.
Dennis just came in and was honest. But like, there's so much buzz, and it's like, okay, that's fine. Like, Dennis Schroeder is a good NBA player. He's a top 6-7 of a rotation player for almost any team in the league, but to think that he's going to be the person who changes your entire franchise is not really fair. He's a 32-year-old guy who's played on his 10th team over like a 11-year career. Like, we kind of know who he is, and it's a good player, but let's not sit here and act like you acquire Ja Morant.
But he can also be the person, like 35 to 55 is a wide range, but he could be the difference between 35 and 45. He could be the difference between 40 and 45.
Maybe.
Right? Like, I don't think anybody's, this isn't the number 5 drafting team in the league, and we're going to say they're going to win 45 games. This is a team that, yeah, maybe if you had a guy like Dennis Schroeder last year, you might have been the 7th seed. In the not 7th seed, but finish 7 going into the play-in as opposed to 9th. Like, I think he can make that type of difference.
No, it's possible that he can make the difference in a couple of games. I mean, really, when you look at like win shares and stuff, it's really difficult to make an impact more than like a game or two on an overall 82 game schedule. But I'll also point out, like, to contradict myself, because that's fun, when in 1998, when the Sacramento Kings went out and they had $11 million to spend in free agency, they went out, Jeff Petrie signed Vlade Divac, who was 30 years old and who was a good center, but again, he plays in the greatest era of centers ever. I mean, Vlade's what, the 10th best center in his generation? Like, and look at the impact that he had on the court. I mean, he changed everything. So maybe there is that potential for him to go out there and be like that guy that brings everyone together. But that's where you get to the point, like, if he was that guy, then he just had 5 teams in the last 2 seasons that he could have been that guy for, and he wasn't. So, like, again, let's not put labels on something on a player that he might have to live up to, that people want him to live up to. Like, this is a good NBA player. It's a good signing. It's not a franchise-altering signing. And so, you know, like, we have to give Dennis Schroeder an opportunity to be who he is on the court and not put some weird narrative that he's going to change everything.
Your opinion. Do you think Malik Monk plays the entire year as a Sacramento King?
Sure. Like, I don't think that there's any reason why not. And one of the reasons I say that is because Scott Perry hasn't been around Malik Monk. He hasn't seen the impact that Malik has on a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that matters, right? Like, you look at his numbers, you watch him on tape, all that stuff. But I think all of us in this room understand that Malik Monk means a lot more than that, right? We talked about earlier, like, he wasn't allowed to be this guy with the Lakers or with Charlotte. He wasn't this game-changing personality that came on the floor and, like, changed the energy for everyone. That's not who he was, but that's who he's been in Sacramento. And when you see that in person and then you think that it's expendable and you can just trade that, then I think maybe your mind changes. Like, yeah. So I hope that he is, because I think, just like Dennis Schroeder, I think Malik Monk is a very good NBA player.
Dennis Schroeder is a very good NBA player, and Baker Family Wines is a very good wine, whether it's the Rosé, whether it's the 755, which is their cab. You can head over to BakerFamilyWines.com. You could join Dusty's Clubhouse. You could get emails about exclusive releases and tasting room specials. The tasting room is awesome. It's in West Sacramento. Obviously, we spent last Sunday there watching football all afternoon. Had a great time. We were playing games. They have an incredible outdoor patio. They have food trucks out there often. They have these charcuterie cups that are absolutely incredible. The tasting room is special. It is in West Sacramento. Shout out to our man, Scooter. He hit us up and said, yo, we got Baker Family Wines at the Elk Grove here at the Raley's out here in Elk Grove. We know they got them at the Nugget in Granite Bay and Roseville as well. So look for that baseball stitch on the wine bottle. Pick you up a bottle, and you won't regret it.
Absolutely. They also got them in the Nugget in Greenhaven and in Elk Grove. So they're everywhere. Yeah.
There you go. Baker Family Wines. Head over to BakerFamilyWines.com and tap in tomorrow. We got our eyes on this Yankees Red Sox game. Is going to make for an interesting show dynamic tomorrow when Jake Gaiden comes in and hangs out with the insiders. That's beginning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Game Threes!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Houston, when the game's on the line, you trust the Texans to deliver. When your life's on the line after an accident, trust the official personal injury attorney of the Houston Texans, Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Insurance companies have a game plan, and so do we. We fight for your rights, your recovery, and your results. After an accident, before you call the insurance company, call Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Sheriff Injury Law Firm, proud partner of the Houston Texans. Houston's choice for real, relentless results. Go to www.callthesheriff.com.